Audio description is an incredibly thoughtful way of access, which allows blind and low vision consumers to engage in entertainment and media, such as TV shows, movies, YouTube videos, whatever you can think of really, and live events like theater plays, tours, dance performances, other performances, and much, much more through verbal descriptions of visual elements. I'm Ramia Amadin, and I have low vision. I'm a heavy audio description user and visual description user in general. I'm also quite the critique. I love to have conversations about audio description, so count me in for this conversation around audio description experience, technique, approach, and comparisons. Joining me, because not really feeling like talking to myself, joining me for this conversation on Radio Lumi to chat more about his experiences and approaches to audio description is professional audio describer JJ Hunt. JJ, really excited to talk to you about this because this is your thing.
Yeah, and I am always up for a conversation about audio description. And frankly, my family's bored of me talking about it all the time. So I'm glad you're game for it too.
Absolutely agreed. You know, I bring it up in so many contexts and people are like, okay. So let's firstly discuss my personal explanation of audio description. What'd you think of it? Anything you'd like to add?
No, you really have it nailed. And especially because the more audio description is done in the world, the broader our definition of audio description gets, right? Audio description is really the description of visual elements of any piece of entertainment, any experience, any event, any happening, right? So we can make that definition super broad because it has to take all of those different things into account. It's not just about movies and TV anymore. It's not just about live theater. It's about art pieces. It's about experiences. It's about the describing the visuals of any element of the world that's around us.
Totally. I totally agree. I think it's kind of like, I think of the classic way of audio description, you know, the 30-second pitch of it, but you're absolutely right. And you've been involved in a ton of different things that totally doesn't fall under just the conventional audio description or what it looks like on paper anymore.
That's right. I try and describe anything. Like really, if it's around, if it's in front of me, I'm really curious and I've been describing for a long time. So I want to see if I can apply the audio description approach that I've used in the past with movies and TV and live events and see if I can, you know, attach it to other things. But I'm really curious about your relationship with audio description. I know, like you say, you watch a lot of TV and movies, live theater. Do you use audio description for, you know, fine arts and photo exhibits? Like, what's your relationship with audio description?
Well, similarly to you on the one end of it saying you love to describe anything in front of you, I'm the type of person who soaks in any kind of audio description at all, visual description in general, because my family, I have two younger brothers who are so good, and my mother as well, actually, so good at just describing on the fly, on the go, you know, anything that's kind of around that they're taking in visually, it's second nature to speak it out loud to them and yeah. For me. So when I experienced that kind of thing, and I grew up in that kind of environment where everything is so verbal and vocal and descriptive, now I kind of crave it wherever I go, JJ, really in work and other circumstances when I'm hanging out with my friends and somebody looks at something and they go, oh wow, look at that. I go, what is it? Look at me. Well, look, tell me.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned those family describers. Whenever I give a tour, I do some kind of live event and there are family members or friends who are sighted who are coming along with whoever it is in their life that is the description user. I always try and pay a lot of attention to them because I call them lifelong describers and I have a lot to learn from them. Like I've got a, you know, some professional training. I've got a certain approach, which is obviously very helpful and handy as a describer, but I'm not the lifelong guy, right? I'm not the person who has been there every moment of a person's life and learned how to describe those common everyday experiences. I think those lifelong describers have an awful lot to offer the description community as a whole.
Yes, I totally agree. It becomes very intimate. Like lately I've been more engaged in conversations around access intimacy and what that looks like and what it really feels like to just have general access around you because people around you notice, right? They notice yeah. that you need this extra bit of description or that extra whatever it is. So I love that personally because it just, it's not formal. You're not going, you know, can you describe this for me? Somebody already has that in mind, really. And sometimes even when I'm like, okay, cool, I got it. They're like, and I absolutely love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And in terms of fine arts and you know, like performances, live performances and things like that, I really want to get more description there because I personally haven't experienced too much of it yet. So the few experiences that I have had, I hold dearly to my heart. And hanging out with someone like you who does a lot of niche describing, and I say this because I don't really run into a lot of experiences otherwise until I hear that JJ Hunt's on a project. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. So I'm sure that you've done a ton of things that you're like, oh, come to see this, come to check out that.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more opportunities to do some of those kind of quirkier niche projects, some like experimental films I've done for the NFB and for some galleries, they'll have some more experimental stuff as part of their exhibition. So, you know, get a chance to do those. And, you know, I always love the gig like the Pride Parade. It is so wild and outrageous. And my tone gets to be totally different at the Pride Parade. And that really is, it's not just about describing the parade. It's about describing the spectators and it's about describing the politics of it. It's amazing and wild. And that's really fun. I've also done like some ghost, like I did a ghost walk at Halloween and a Christmas walk at Christmas. So taking the visuals of the city of Toronto and turning those into some storytelling events, which I'm really digging. But I like those, you know, experimental gigs. I know you were at, I think it was a CNIB Hub workshop that I did on describing the circus, where we broke down acrobatics and contortionist routines, and we used like action figures as tactile models. I remember you were at that event. Or have you done any other kind of unusual or uncommon description events, or was that a one of a kind thing for you?
First of all, I just want to say that event was awesome. It was so unique. I had never. And then right after we did that event where you were describing, you know, these amazing intricate movements and performances like Cirque du Soleil type things, I attended a described Cirque du Soleil event in Vegas.
Awesome.
And I was like, wow. And I felt like I already had some background, even though it was not the performance that you had described. I felt like I had the background because I was like, oh, I know kind of what they're going to be up to up here. So it was fantastic. But yeah, other events that, not events, but other projects that I've been involved with, like, for example, helping describe a garden. Right. So throughout the seasons, what does this garden look like? What do the plants do in the winter that they don't do in the summer? That kind of thing where we're calling it living description.
Yeah.
That's kind of fascinating. And I've truthfully been a consultant for most things. And it's just when I get invited to consult on something, audio description or visual description, I get really excited because I feel like it's a learning opportunity for me, right? It's not like I look at certain things through the lens of an audio description consumer until it's put there. So that's when I kind of find it really fascinating to take part in. But I'm curious about what you keep in mind for something that's more unique or experimental, as you described. How do you know it's effective what you're doing? You know, you talked about your tone changing and things like that, but do you know? Like, do you ask for feedback that way?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I mean, the first thing I need to do is always be a listener, right? And this is one of the reasons I love doing live events and tours and things like that, is because you have an audience right there. So you can gauge response. If it's working, if it's not working, is my tone right? Is this group of people engaged? Like, what's working? Ask questions and answer questions. That makes a huge difference. Whereas when you're doing movies and TV, You can run your script by a consultant. You can work with team members who are, you know, hopefully there are audio engineers and management and people involved in the process who are blind or low vision. And you can have, you know, collaborative conversations in that way. But it's not quite the same as being in that live situation where you can really play off of people. But I'm also, you know, I've been doing this a while. I've been doing this for a number of years. So I have a bit of a technique. Like what I'm trying to do these days is tailor the storytelling to those who don't interpret the world visually. And, right. and that happens in different ways. So it's about not just describing, which is obviously key and paramount. You got to describe the visuals, but then you got to be thinking about other elements of it. How is the world interpreted? Well, how about through scent? How about drawing attention to the soundscape? How about making sure when you're telling those stories, your baseline interpretation isn't just describing the visuals? That's really key for me. So, you know, I did an event for the CNIB in February. I did a Black History Month event where I told stories from Canada's past and present that related to Black history. And what I did there is I folded in descriptions of archival photos. When I was telling those stories, I was, you know, heavy in my description of the locations, again, using scent, using a soundscape. And then I described some documentary clips and tried to fold all of that in to create a cohesive story, as opposed to just saying, here's the story, period. Here's a description of the events in the story, period. And you know what I mean? Trying blending it in, folding it in. That's where I'm trying to go these days.
It's personal. And I think that this is a super thread, first of all, that you've touched on, the whole objectivity thing. You didn't really say it like that, but I go right to it, right? Where how personal is the description? Do I feel like I'm kind of there with the artist, with the describer, with the people? Or is it something that is, you know, on paper description? So we can get more into that as well. You're listening to Radio Lumi on ISO.FM, and I'm Ramya Amuthan with JJ Hunt. We're talking about our experiences with audio description, me as a consumer and JJ as a professional audio describer. So JJ, it's cool that you're talking about making it more personal with audio description, that storytelling and things like that. Do you find that you still leech onto any of that objectivity though? Because, you know, you work with, when you're talking about a team, right? You're working with art, events, things created by others. And then you jump in and you're being kind of this middle person, between the artist and the consumer potentially, right? So, and that's the way I see it, of course. So is there something that you have to kind of balance between to say, okay, this is hardcore description, this is my storytelling, I got to blend this?
Yeah, it's tricky. You know, classic audio description of movies and televisions and movies and television programs, art and photography for, you know, image description, visual description, being a little bit removed from your subject, making sure that you are being objective, making sure that you're being incredibly accurate. That's key, right? That's absolutely important. And it has to be when you're talking about pre-recorded description, and when you're presenting, because you are just interpreting the visuals. You're not interpreting the content. You're not interpreting the intent of the artist, be it a filmmaker or a photographer or a painter. But when you're doing live events and it's more, you're having to engage your audience, it's a little bit more conversational. You can't be quite so dry, frankly. It's a challenge because you have to take both of those things into account. And really, when you start talking about broad things, like when you're describing the world around you, it's not like an artist has presented you with a piece of art and you need to describe that, and it's got a frame and you don't go outside of that frame. It's a little easier to contain yourself. But when what you're describing is a streetscape or a story, I mean, what's the frame? How do you hem that in? It's a little bit more challenging. And it's actually one of the things that's come up a lot with regards to art and photography and image description. When I go into chat rooms, I'm involved in online conversations. I hear a lot of conversation about art and in art, you know, broadly speaking art description. And some people I know feel that it's not particularly engaging when it's dry and it's too objective. And people aren't expressing their own, describers aren't expressing their own emotions about the art, and they would like to see more, you know, more engagement from the describer, more personal experiences blended into that, which is kind of against the creed, right? I'm curious, like, how do you feel about that? Would you be willing to give up some of the objectivity of the describer for a more emotional experience?
So I started off on the one end of the spectrum because my experience with audio description had come straight from television, right? Television and movies. And that's where I had done it or experienced it for years. So the only exposure I got was this kind of very formal, neutral narration of audio description. And I loved it because it was better than not having anything. So
yeah.
It was that. And then it was my family, my friends, people who were audio describing like more casually, generally. But I didn't stick the two of them in the same pot and say, oh, you know, it would be nice to get a balanced approach. But now with alt text specifically, on social media, you know, people who post on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter with images and they're captioning their images or putting alt text, because I'm a screen reader user, into their images to describe the image itself or the logo or the post of whatever kind. That's when I started noticing that things are getting more personal because you only get a certain character count, first of all. You're not going to get into a whole... fully, because I'm not going to sit there and read a five paragraph description of your photograph, right? Or some landscape. So that's where I started feeling like, yeah, I love this. I love this casual, informal approach. And I think that it's opened up this whole other realm of discussion for me in my head about what audio description can be, what visual description can be. And even though it's done more formally than my family and friends just tossing out description on the street, it's still like, I love getting that insight, but it took me a while to get there, JJ. It was never, I do remember some moments where I'm like, how could they be so subjective? I wasn't here for poetry. I want to know what's happening.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. It's interesting you mentioned the tag, the alt descriptions and the tagging of personal photos. I'm very much, when I use photos on, especially my Facebook page, where my Facebook page tends to be a bit more personal. My Twitter is a little bit more professional. But I, you know, I've still got description users in my personal Facebook page. And when I'm creating an alt text for them, I don't know. I like to throw in jokes, like I throw in gags and, you know, just little whatever. If I'm putting a post on Facebook, it's probably because it's something personal that I enjoyed or, you know, I want to share. And so that's me sharing. That's JJ as a person sharing, not me as a describer trying to put a professional description on an image, right? So I try and put gags into there. And, you know, for me, that's really important. You know, one of the things I did really want to talk about, I want to make sure we have time for this conversation because I think it's so important. There's a big issue in audio description as a profession for far too long. Audio description has been done by people who are sighted for people who are blind or low vision. And obviously some of that's unavoidable with audio description or visual description, but there's still plenty of room for collaboration and participation from community members. And I'd really like to get your thoughts on that. I know you do some consultation. I think I'm right in remembering that you're getting into the field of narration as well. I just would love to get your take on that side of the profession.
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, I love being immersed in these kind of projects, in any which way I can, or I've been invited to, because it's a learning experience for me. I do voice work. I'm on, Accessible Media Inc.'s Kelly and Company. So, you know, radio and voice work are my gigs. So anywhere I can squeeze those in, I'm like, yes, please, you know, give me the opportunities. But I, think it's wonderful to have community members, not just there for feedback, not just there to say, yes, I love this audio description. No, I don't. Or, you know, here's how I would tweak it. Because of course, you don't know how effective, as you pointed out, audio description or visual description can be without the feedback, right? Without listening to community members. That's the for sure point. But at the same time, many of us are talented. We're artists ourselves. We express, and we have unique ways of interacting with these kind of projects. And I think that the opportunities could and should and are there now, right? They're becoming something more, you know, like even having these kind of conversations, I find this is more than just the feedback, right? This is a deep delve into what audio description can be for a community member. So very, very valuable skill sets. I love being on the narration side of things, on the production side of things, adding my two cents in whenever I can. But so many community members are audio editors. They love working with that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, when I say I have feedback, it's not just about how well the audio description is done. So many times I'm sitting there in front of the TV going, can you turn it up? Like, who mixed this, right? Or something along those lines of talking about the audio, the production elements. So that kind of stuff is also very important to recognize, that people in the community are out there to help with various aspects of putting together visual description and audio description. It's not just the forum side of things. And for you, JJ, as an audio describer, you work very closely with the community, as we found out through this conversation, for the blind and low vision community, for feedback, ideas, etc., just listening as a listener. But you approach collaboration as well, from your end, because, for example, you co-host the Talk Description to Me podcast with Christine Malik, who's a community member as well as a content creator, and here on Radio Lumi with us this weekend. So how do you do that?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I'm all about collaboration. I mean, I think consultation has its place. Absolutely. There are moments when having a consultative relationship with the community is valuable. To be sure, but I prefer the collaboration approach, right? I prefer having a team of people. It's made up of folks from the blind and low vision community, folks from the sighted community, making sure that the projects that are moving forward for everyone at the same time, like that the community is involved from day one in the concept, in the production, in the all elements of it. So collaboration is everything. And I'm so blessed to have Christine as a friend and colleague who I can work with, because a show like Talk Description to Me only works because it's the two of us together. It's Christine coming up with ideas and coming up with questions and me doing my best to answer them. And then she's got follow-up questions, and then I'm really stumped and I have to work even harder and, you know, try and do my best to keep up with her. And that's the only way that works. If something like Talk Description to Me, where it is expressly about describing the visuals of the world around us, if that was just me coming up with ideas, here's what I think as a sighted guy that the blind and low vision community wants described, and here's how I think it should be described, there would be so many questions unanswered. I would be off on tangents, frankly, not even tangents. My original idea for any given episode might be completely wrong, completely off. The number of times I'll start a description and Christine will stop me after a few minutes and go, okay, that's great and all, but can we back up, because you're basing your description on an assumption. And frankly, it's incorrect. Like, you know, you're talking about, I was describing Joe Biden and his trademark aviator sunglasses, which are, you know, such a key to his persona. And she's like, you got to go back and tell me what aviator sunglasses look like, because I don't have a clue. And for me, that was just it's a cultural reference that goes back decades. So I genuinely hadn't occurred to me that key element of the description needed to be there. And it's only because it's a collaboration, it's only because it's the two of us working together that's doable. Otherwise it's just me talking to the wind and occasionally hoping that some of the stuff I say lands, but that's certainly not always the case.
Absolutely. And it's really, you know, this whole notion of description as black or white is absolutely untrue, right? There's just so much gray area and meeting in the middle, and the ideas and the tossing around and the brainstorming is one part of it, but also, you know, the artists wanting to make their art accessible or say, you know, how does the blind, low vision community take in what I'm offering, what I'm creating, and then meeting everybody in kind of this collaborative space of, well, let's figure out how to do that, right? Because some of the stuff is complicated, it's complex, and it's not just a here, describe this piece of work. Well, how do I do that, right?
Yeah.
You know, especially with something that's more abstract, for example, I've run into several examples of this kind of thing where a piece of visual art is abstract and, you know, one person's description is completely different from another person. So it's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really one of the things I have to say that I have loved about working with Radio Lumi on this project is we have an opportunity to be speaking with the artists and to be asking questions from a blind, low vision perspective and an audio description perspective too. It's been a fantastic opportunity. And I think it's, you know, I love what Radio, you know, what Radio Lumi has been doing on this. I, you know, pat ourselves on the back here, but this is really cool to have this opportunity. We don't always get this shot as describers and description users to be so fully engaged.
Amazing conversation with you as always, JJ, and it was really incredible getting into some of these subjects and bouncing some of these thoughts off of you. Very fun and insightful conversation brought to you by myself and friend and professional audio describer JJ Hunt and myself, Ramya Amuthan. This is Radio Lumi on ISO.FM. Stay tuned for more accessible programming.